problems can be reframed. You can start to dissect them into smaller problems and more micro problems. So for me, when I see a problem, I reframe it in my head as a challenge.
The opportunity is in the challenge, right? The real builders, the real creators, they don't wait. They go and they move. They take massive action.
Most people who I meet who love what they do and build what they dream of say the same thing. They always say it's the journey, not the destination. Ego is okay sometimes. It's what drives us. We want to be better. We want to do better. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. You have to train your mind, and you have to talk to yourself every day, and you have to talk yourself out of any kind of imposter syndrome or the things that people face. Because I don't think anybody else thinks these things about you that we think about ourselves. Working harder and smarter is the key.
You don't need to have it all. You just need to get started.
Today on Chaban Podcast. Chaban Podcast is presented by Yes You Can, your healthy lifestyle with a Latin flavor. Yes You Can Medical, the telemedicine platform that brings you closer to your best version. Visit now yesyoucanmedical.com.
Hola, hola. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Chaban Podcast. If this episode moves you, inspires you, or makes you feel seen, hit that subscribe button so we can keep growing together and expanding this amazing community. And if you're ready to take care of your health from the inside out, don't forget to check out yesyoucan.com for powerful nutrition tools, clean supplements, and the number one weight management system for Latinos. And of course, our new platform, yesyoucanmedical.com. We have personalized telehealth solutions, including GLP-1 medications, hormone support, and more, delivered to your home and guided by real medical experts. So when I started Yes You Can 14 years ago, I used to tell myself, I'm just an actor, not a businessman. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I don't have the credentials. And yet with time and experience, I discovered my truth, right? That to be a founder, you don't need to have it all. You just need to get started. And I used to think that in order to build something great, you had to kind of have it all figured out first. The perfect plan, the perfect timing, the perfect credentials, the perfect team. But after many, many years, the risk I took, the fears I faced, I realized something very powerful, which is the opportunity is in the challenge, right? The real builders, the real creators, they don't wait. They go and they move. They take massive action. And that brings me to my amazing guest today. She didn't come from fitness. She came from law. She has degrees from Berkeley, from Stanford, from the University of Miami. And she had it all, the traditional boxes checked. She had it all figured it out. But then something inside her said, this isn't it. I want more. So she literally rewrote her whole story. And what she's built with Tremble isn't just a Pilates company. It's a brand with soul. Her name is Ariane Rashad, or Ariana Rashad in Espanol. Welcome to the Chaban Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Finally.
Here.
No, I so really, really wanted to sit down and have an amazing conversation with you.
I thought you'd never ask. So we're here today. Love that. Thank you. I'm honored. It's been a journey. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm so excited to get all your questions answered.
Let's start from the beginning so people know about Tremble. What's Tremble? How do they find, you know, what's Tremble about? How do they get to your amazing classes?
Yeah, well, Tremble's an experience, first and foremost. It's a full immersive experience now. It went from being a fitness concept to a real community that we created, really that started out of Miami. So Tremolo at its essence is it's a high intensity, low impact workout that combines the best of Pilates, strength training, and cardio all in one 50-minute workout. So we do group classes in small environments, like 12 to 14 people at a time. And it feels a little more luxury than your typical Pilates classes because we want to have small classes so we can really take care of our clients. And then we do privates as well. And well, in Miami, we're all over. There's, I think now 10, almost 11 locations in Miami.
Wow.
We'll be opening up in the Ritz-Carlton actually very soon here in December. So, and then now we're all over the country and now international. So we've expanded quite a bit, but it really started here.
Wow. What was the exact moment when you said, you know, I'm leaving law and I'm starting this amazing new concept?
Yeah. So it wasn't even that calculated to start. I thought to myself, you know, I grew up, I loved education. I wanted to be a professor. I really wanted to be a professor of law. I enjoyed international policy as well. And so I was not the story that you hear where, you know, you hear about kids when they're younger that they know that from a very young age that they want to be an entrepreneur. Mm. I had no plans of that. So I'm a very interesting story in that way.
Yes You Can is the number one nutrition system for Latinos in the United States. It features supplements made with natural, clinically proven ingredients and designed in a three-phase plan to detoxify, transform, and maintain your best version. Visit yesyoucan.com today and get started.
I just had a passion, and fitness was something that got me up every day and was a big part of my life. It was always something that I could rely on. It was a constant in my life. Mm. Good days, bad days, that constant was always there for me. I wanted to keep that up, and I wanted to share my passion for working out. And so when I opened my first location, the thought was, well, you can do it all. You can have your law office in the back office, and you could practice Pilates in the front. And that's really what I thought when I first started. But little did I know about the journey of entrepreneurship at the time. And I think when I first opened my doors, I still had that dream of being able to do both. And when I first opened, I learned customer service, which was, you know, such a new thing for me because everything I had done up until that point was all about me. Mm. And it didn't really involve serving others in any capacity. And so I think for me, it was a pivotal moment of understanding what really business is all about if you care about it. And then it turned from just a business into just a movement. And then that really became something very different for me. Every stage is sort of evolved into something different, but there was no like sharp turn on like, oh, I'm just practicing law and then I'm going to be a business owner. And I never left that educational space. I continued to educate, and I was able to actually bring in everything I've learned from law and apply it to my business because now I can read my own contracts, deal with my own employee,
oh, wow,
my own agreements, negotiate my own real estate deals. So I'm actually so grateful for my education, but there is a world where you can bring all of this together if you want to.
Mm. So. Were your parents entrepreneurs?
Not at all.
No.
But what they were was very supportive. Mm. And that's a hard find that I think I find now. I was very lucky to experience unconditional love. And I think that that's a gift. And I had the support of both of my parents at the time. I don't think they fully knew what I was getting myself involved in. I'm not even so sure that they fully understand the scope of it today, but the constant is still there. And that was love and support. And that's really all I needed. You only need a few people to support you, to really support you during those like tough moments of like questioning and decision making and, you know, hard moments and those successes. We call it, and we've talked about this before, the top and bottom 5% of our lives that we share with people, you know, and it's not for everyone to share. It's not for everyone to know, but it's the top and bottom 5% of our personal lives, of our professional lives, of our family lives that blend together. Because as you know, business and personal and professional all kind of blend together in many ways. And sometimes what we think is a business issue is a personal issue, and what is a personal issue is a business issue.
Yeah.
And so it's this interchangeability and network of, you know, dynamics and decision making that are just so important.
Were you afraid when you make the decision? Because like after going through that journey and having that, you know, level of assertiveness, right? Certainty in order to be a lawyer. And then you're literally jumping into the unknown, right?
I mean, I think there was a moment, I think before we opened our doors to the first location where in comes like a truck with like Pilates equipment that spend your savings on. And you've got have a moment where you think, oh my God, like what this is going to change my life. I'm kind of glad that I didn't know everything at that time. I'm glad that I was a little bit naive then. I really believe like time was on my side in many ways and that, you know, if I made a mistake, I would learn. But I had, you know, I had gone through versions of highs and lows, but I hadn't really learned, I think yet, what it was like to fail optically. And that, and in growing the business, you reframe those failures as learning experiences. But those are only things that you learn with time and through with wisdom. So I'm glad I was a little naive back then, but I was a little scared because it's a whole new world and it's an ecosystem where people are giving you their biggest currency and it's not their money, it's their time. Mm. And that for me was a real factor when I was realizing that, like, I'm not just like changing people's bodies, but they're giving me the most important time of their day sometimes. And that was the time for them. And so much of it was not about me anymore. It was about the people that I was serving. And it was a massive mindset.
Wow.
Massive.
Like that's a hard decision to make. How do you train your mind to make hard decisions?
Practice. And I think consistency. I think problems can be reframed. You can start to dissect them into smaller problems and more micro problems. So for me, when I see a problem, I reframe it in my head as a challenge.
Looking to reset your body and take control of your health? Discover how GLP-1 medications can help balance your hormones, control insulin, reduce hunger, and help you feel fuller longer. All with expert medical guidance every step of the way. Just fill out a quick questionnaire at yesyoucanmedical.com and get your medication delivered straight to your door. No contracts, no subscriptions, just real support. Your healthy transformation starts today at yesyoucanmedical.com.
And then I dissect that challenge into pieces that are easy for me to reach. So I'm not trying to get to from A to Z fast. I just want to get from A to B, A to C, A to D, and work my way all the way down. So I just try to reframe and make them like micro goals to get to where I need to be and where I want to be. And not everything has to be solved in the moment. I think that's also very important to know, like what's urgent and important are things that I think as entrepreneurs, we need to figure out for ourselves every day, like the priorities that are important to us every day. What's urgent and important for me may not be urgent and important for the company. So I think you have to think about those factors as well. And that, you know, and thinking about how you dissect time is very important in that process. So it's kind of, you know, no business is going to come without problems. Every day there's a problem. Every single day you have problems in business. And it's what you choose to either reframe in your mind as a problem, a real problem, or an opportunity, or a learning lesson. And so for me, all of those things are very important to understand, like really what a problem is. And wow. I think when you face big problems, it changes how you view small problems.
100%. I love that. You're talking about your inner voice. What does your inner voice sound like when things don't go the way you want? Like, because sometimes, right, I have this thing in my head. I either see the gremlin talking super loud, right, and possessing me with all the negative things that could happen, or as I call it, Chavancito, who is like, you know, the one in control. And I'm always like really balancing that out and saying, okay, who is talking right now? Because sometimes my inner voice gets so negative. It's like, it's a very Latina soap opera, right? Dramatic. And like, oh my God. So like, what does your inner voice sound like and how do you retrain it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're our own worst critics. Obviously, we're the hardest on ourselves in every single way. I think that you really have to think about it as if, like, would you say this to somebody else? Would you say the things that you think about yourself to anybody else? Because how you talk to yourself really frames how you think. And I believe a lot in the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a lot. I think people have valid emotions and problems. And I'm not saying not to address those things. But in today's society, we're using words like being depressed and anxious and all these things without really assigning value to what they mean. And I see people using them without maybe not necessarily feeling that way. So I think it's important. Power of mind is important in order to get through. I mean, for sure, in entrepreneurship, you have to believe in it and you have to believe in yourself. But I think we're our own worst critics, and you have to train your mind, and you have to talk to yourself every day, and you have to talk yourself out of any kind of imposter syndrome or the things that people face. Because I don't think anybody else thinks these things about you that we think about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a constant battle, especially because I think entrepreneurship is a bit lonely. You know, the wind blows hardest at the top, they say.
Yep.
So it's something that you have to get really, really good with your inner dialogue. The same way you train your body, you have to train your mind too.
Oh, wow. I love that. It's a muscle.
It's a muscle.
Wow.
You know, I'm always in awe of people who can like really, I really want to get good at meditating. I'm not very good at it. It's my kryptonite right now, but I'm always in awe of people who can really, really sit still with their emotions and embrace them. It's scary. I don't think everybody's ready for it, especially because entrepreneurship, like, think about the essence of what we do. It's just tackle problem, problem, problem solve, and your brain is thinking all day. And then you're forcing your brain into a shutdown mode to face your emotions, to face your fears, to face everything. So it's the opposite of what we're trained to do almost every day in order to succeed.
Yeah.
But I think it's the opposite, is just slowing down is as important. Actually, it rings true in our workout as well.
So true.
Moving fast is not always the way to success through even changing your body. And I think it relates to also to the mindset. It's like learning to move slower can actually produce better results sometimes. So, you know, it's a moving train inside of your head, and you've got to be able to control it. You're the conductor.
100%. How do you talk to yourself? You said, you know, you talk to yourself. How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I literally sit with my emotions and I think to myself, is that true? Or is that a belief? And where did that belief system come from?
Ooh.
And then if you really want to do the hard work, you have to go back to when you first saw that belief system in play for yourself. So, you know, where did I get the belief system that you have to work hard to be successful? It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, where did I get that? It's not always true. There are a lot of people that don't work hard and they're successful. So I think it's a belief system that you have to go back, and it's early childhood memories. You know, for me, like, okay, well, I saw it because I was in a home that, like, where, you know, parents had to be away for a certain amount of time to like achieve success or to bring in money or to, you know, create vacations or memories or whatever that was. So I was of this belief system that you have to work hard to be successful. And that's what was trained also in education too. That's like the more work you put in, more success you're going to have. But it's not necessarily true for everyone. So I think understanding where our beliefs come from and dissecting them is incredibly and immensely valuable to who we are. I think going back, and those beliefs really start, you know, and sometimes they're limiting beliefs, right? These are limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves. So I think just, you know, training your brain, knowing your core belief system, and going back and using history as a moderator for your own lesson.
Do you do therapy?
No, I should.
No. Oh my God. You sound like you do a lot of therapy, actually.
I mean, I do. I think my therapy is my business group, which is the main thing. I mean, we talk about like that 5%, the highs and lows. I think therapy is fantastic. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've done it, but not like I haven't been able to stick to it for an extended amount of time. But, the business group that I'm currently in, we talk about these really significant moments, and it's a safe space to talk about our wins and our losses, and kind of an environment where there's like no judgment. And the way we talk to each other is not, hey, you know, Alejandra, I want to tell you what to do with your life. It's a new form of communication, which is called experience share. And so I can only tell you what has worked for me, and sharing that with you may also realize what may or may not work for you. But me telling you what to do may not hold as much weight or as much potency in the result. Because if it doesn't work, then you may have a different relationship with me or see me differently. So I think experience share is such a great way of like just talking through problems. Because even if I don't know exactly what you're going through, like let's say you and I are facing a business issue, and maybe I don't know exactly, I've never been in your shoes for that situation. I may have shared a sentiment with you in that moment, whether it's vulnerability or fear or disappointment or elation, whatever that is, I may share the sentiment with you. So I think the sentiment, the feelings that come out of this are as important as like, you know, having proper experience shares. So I haven't, but I should. I'm going to work on it. And, you know, I think my business group has been a really great support system.
Could you tell us more about it so people learn?
Yeah, it's called Entrepreneurs Organization. And it's an organization that it's different to get in. You have to have, you know, reach a certain revenue marker with your own business. But the important part is that you started the business on your own. And I think for me, the reason why I was attracted to this group was because it takes something different to start your own thing. It takes something different to know what it's like to sit in the trenches and to experience the highs and lows of a business as opposed to just walking into one. Not to say easier or more difficult. I just think that like the journey of entrepreneurship is so unique that I like being around people that have started their own businesses. And there's such a diversity of those businesses in play. So like there are people from all sorts of all sorts of businesses. But what's really interesting is that a problem is so similar across industries. A people problem is a people problem. A management problem is a management problem. You know, how people feel after an exit is pretty uniform across the board. So what's interesting is like you get a diversity of thought and perspectives, but you know, it's nice to sit with people who like truly want to root for you in every single way. I don't think we some of the things that we share, you know, we may not share with our closest friends or family because maybe it's not the right place to do that, but and these forums are the right place to do that. And there's a level of confidentiality involved and there's a level of respect. So a lot of these forums stick around for a pretty long time. They become your family. So it's a lot of
fun. I love it. And it raises your standards, right? When you're surrounded with like people like that, like you have a different type of conversations.
Completely. Yeah. And also, I mean, I think the things you're trying to do and the journey in which you're trying to take is so difficult. And I think there are so many people around you that want to protect you, and their form of protection sometimes is like to steer you away from the dream, or because some of these ideas are just so difficult in execution that it's really not for everybody. And so I don't blame people for wanting to protect one another from like feeling those pains and those losses because they're just trying to protect you. But entrepreneurship space, because people have been through it, it's like, okay, you know, we're going to do it and we're going to do it again and we're going to figure it out. So you can't really blame the people around you for wanting to protect you. But it's a nice place to be when you see people are kind of have that same gusto and that same sort of, I mean, you call it what you want it, you know, if it's like a fever or a little bit of craziness, but it's fun to be around people who think big and want to change the world.
And you guys have a lot of fun.
And we have a lot of fun.
I've seen it. I've experienced it. They have a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. We have a great time because, you know, your life is so short and your experiences that you have together are so important. And, you know, I think when you have these times where you can really be together, you like enjoy them. It's just even more. They're even more fruitful in those moments. And yeah. It's very powerful to be around people who want to innovate and they want to change the world. And that is just, there are special moments and special experiences because you want to be around people that really want to impact society in a different way, you know, and they really see life differently. You know, that every day is, you know, we never know. We never know what for tomorrow.
Yeah. You were talking about looking at problems from different perspectives. Yeah. How do you define a problem today? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your definition of, you know, a problem or a challenge now versus when you first started it? Yeah.
When I first started, everything was a problem. Everything was a problem. AC would be broken. Toilet would be, it would just like throw my entire day off. I would be like, oh my gosh, we need to get to this. And then I think when you start to deal with bigger problems, just like in your, even growing up and family life and trauma and all of that, when you deal with the hard things first, the messy things in life, it makes you almost grateful for those smaller problems.
Mm.
And it makes you feel grateful that you can experience those things as micro as they are, because they're things that are only going to make you better every day. For me, you know, when I've had my back up against the wall, those have been the most transformative experiences of my life. I don't wish those experiences necessarily on other people, but the transformational side of that is so powerful that it changes you. Your DNA changes when you go through something difficult. Your grit changes, but something inside you, you're just the way you wake up in the morning and what you want to do just completely changes. And that for me is such a big part of Tremble, you know, is just redefining that what seems hard. And Tremble is a hard workout. I mean, it's a tough workout. It's a challenge. And so you are with people side by side that want to push a little bit harder, that want to work a little bit different, that want to change themselves and show up differently in their lives for other people too, not just for themselves, but as entrepreneurs, as like members of society, as family members, as brothers, sisters, you know, mothers, fathers. These are people that want to show up differently in their lives. And I think that's what I mean when I say like the immersive aspect of it. It's like, you know, you've got the lights and the music and the programming, but you know, the essence of this programming, no matter what anybody tells me, like I'm convinced it's people. It all boils down to people.
Yeah.
And none of where I would have gotten today would not have been done without a team, without people who support you, without people who wanted to come back and work out in a brick and mortar space after COVID. You know, I think COVID proved that relationships were important to people, and people wanted to be around other people. And that's the human element. That's the common denominator that just keeps coming up. And it's hard. I think, you know, candidly, I have no investors in my business. I, you know, grew this baby very organically. And, you know, anytime somebody asks, what's the secret sauce? What is it? What does it come down to? What is a boil? You know, they don't want to hear it. And I'm like, it's people. And that's really what it is at the end of the day. I mean, there's like, I can, you know, this experience doesn't come down to anything, but a human element.
Hmm.
And
I love
that. Not, you know, that's, it's hard to explain, but it's something that you can feel.
And thank you for keeping it real, because sometimes we're so used to these successful stories that are, especially on social media, everything is great. Start your own business. You're going to have a Ferrari, a plane, and, you know, and nobody really, you know, talks about the hardships of, you know, building a business and building it, you know, by yourself with no investors, even harder. So, you know, sometimes we believe also that problems are frictions, or actually they're redirecting to, you know, the lesson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I understand it's easy to get caught up and think, you know, when you're young, oh, I want this car and I want this life and I want this house. And it's almost funny because it's always a learning lesson, because when you really get there, you almost realize, oh, I'm not so sure I wanted that. But it's the journey.
Yeah,
I think it's the journey that ties entrepreneurs together. Most people who I meet who love what they do and build what they dream of say the same thing. They always say it's the journey, not the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I fully understood that until I lived it. I had listened to podcasts just like this, you know, and, you know, it was in my ears, like, how could that be the fun part? You know, just the day that you learn, you know, you're going to move to the other side of this business and you're going to let go of it. And, you know, for me, I'm like, wow, now I get it. The journey is everything. And I totally understand what you're trying to do. That's why I'm grateful to be able to continue to run this business. I'm grateful that I'm in great health, that I love teaching, that it's still a part of my fabric and DNA. And now I can empower other people to teach and multiply that effect across the country and the world. And so for me, if I wanted to build Trumbull, I would have put it underneath my name. But Trumbull was about a team experience. And so it's really about the brand, not just me. You know, like we were just talking about life. And, you know, if something happens tomorrow, I want Trumbull to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want Trumbull to be a legacy brand. And this is not something that's very easy. When you look in the fitness space, there are very, very few legacy brands. There are very few brands that have been even around more than 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
You start to see these markers in business, you know, whether you've been around for 5 years or a decade or, you know, 15 years and 20 years. And sometimes I look at these brands that have been around for over 2 decades and I'm like, wow, like they start to become my role models because they're running a marathon and a different kind of marathon. And if you don't adapt and pivot and innovate at every stage, you could also die.
Oh, yeah.
Process.
Look at Blockbuster, right?
I know.
Like all these different companies that have just, you know, stayed doing the same thing and like innovation just, you know, just keeps on going.
Innovation. And it will, by the way, there's going to be continued innovation in our space in fitness. I mean, I think one thing that was interesting about is COVID is I think a lot of people expected us to like pivot completely digital. And I really doubled down during COVID. I said,
no,
go out and negotiate leases right now. That was a pretty crazy move. I was like, I got a lot of under market leases at that time. And so my, you know, but hey, I took a chance
at that
time. But I'm glad that I didn't pivot because all the voices around me said, go digital, go digital, go digital. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. This is where the space is going. And we didn't do that. I actually went out and negotiated leases and I said, we need space here. We need space here and we need space here. And I went and got a lot of deals for a significant amount of time so that we could benefit from some of those leases and spaces. And that's really when I doubled down. Like when I had that quiet time, that's really when I said, this is going to be different.
Wow.
This is not just going to be a workout. It's going to be an experience. And that's when I really changed my perspective of what I really wanted. And everything changed. Everything changed at that point. But it was really during that time. So you've got a lot of voices in your head.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of opinions. And I always tell, I even tell my team, I'm like, you're going to get a lot of opinions and voices, but at the end of the day, you got to choose your own.
A lot of noise, right? There's a lot of noise.
A lot of noise.
Yeah.
And people try to help. It's not always a bad place to be, but it can really impact you and it can impact your decision making. And so sometimes I think my North Star is always ethics, like what I believe to be like morally sound. Like, could I go to bed tonight knowing that this is okay tomorrow? I know we've all had that like voice in our head when we put our, you know, head on a pillow at night. That's like something is just off.
Mm.
Something doesn't feel right. And when I hear that voice, I'm more in tune with it now. And I think, you know, so many of us go to bed at night and there are so many things that come up. That we're not yet ready to address. And I think for me, like I'm more in tune with that voice because I'm like, and it's, I, you know, as I age, one of the beauties of aging is that you realize like there's another side of this, whatever it is, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think differently now. I move with a different kind of velocity because I know that like this is not a forever thing and that like I'm grateful to be able to make that decision today. So I'm going to make it today. And I'm going to go out and do it. And that's the way I think about it. You know, like, if not now, then when? I ask myself.
Wow.
If not now, then when? And
how do you balance out your decision making, like gut versus data? Because in those moments, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I have like fought data like it's nobody's business. look, data is important. Facts are important. Looking at numbers are important. But if I solely looked at that, surely Trumbull wouldn't be where it is today because we would have just closed our doors during COVID and just called it because the data said your doors are closed. There's no money coming in. You should think about something else to do.
What?
That's what the data was saying back then. And hey, there was no time. There was no, hey, we're going to open on this day and this is what we're going to do. And there was no real resolution to this at the time. It was just a confusing time, I think, for so many different reasons. I think data is an important driver. You got to look at sales. You got to look at revenue. You got to look at numbers to really get a company to where it needs to be. And I tend to be more on that conservative side because I want to be a legacy brand. I don't want to make these crazy decisions with the company. But at the same time, data is not everything, especially in the creative space. And there are things that I think that we do that really elevate our brand and brand presence. And I, like, you know, we went to New York in the middle of COVID, you know, like that was a crazy thing. Everyone's like, well, like it's COVID. What would you, you know, what are you thinking? This is like the hardest city in America to open a business. And I said, well, I was like, well, there's this phrase, like, if you can't make it in New York, you can't make it anywhere. You know, if you make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. That's the phrase. And I'm like, we're going to make it in New York. And we get to New York in a blistering February. And I'm like, oh, this is really different than Miami. And, you know, I was on the streets with our team passing out flyers one by one, one by one, one by one, talking to people one by one. And I remembered what I did when I first opened my store, and that was treat every single client like it's the Olympics. Every single class has to be taught like it's the best class you've ever taught every single day.
Wow.
And so that's really how we built Tremble. It was one by one. And I think, you know, it's one thing to be able to develop a business or to make a sale. It's another thing for your clients to start referring you out. That's when I think you start building a brand instead of just a business. And that marker of New York also became a showpiece for us in the country and allowed us to like move into the Hamptons and get all this great press and, you know, with Fox and NBC and all these things that we never, I mean, never thought sitting, you know, in my apartment in COVID could ever happen, because New York just gave us a different kind of level of exposure to the brand at the time. And, you know, I think you just have to balance that out. You know, there's a creative process in what I do, and it's not solely numbers driven. And that's, it's really, really important. And it's different to every brand, by the way.
Yeah.
Like I care a lot about the client experience.
Are you a perfectionist? Do you believe in perfection? How do you release something that's not 100% ready?
I mean, story of my life. Right. So this is what school taught me. Like I could just turn in something when I felt 100% great about it. That was just like how I always felt. And I could give myself enough time and time was on my side. But when you're in business, you have to start to rely on the people around you. And, you know, getting things done is as important as like it being the best thing and the best iteration of the product in the world. I think showing the world an iteration of your product and beginning to perfect it along the way by taking in feedback is another way of building a company. I've heard so many different ways of, you know, of people who get to a service or a product that they really love. Tremble is not an amalgamation of success, just success. It's an amalgamation of all the failures and the pivots I've had to take.
Wow.
So like that's, it's like, it's, you know, you're more bruised, you're more calloused as you grow, but it's a more perfect product in a way. And I feel better about it at every iteration. So even when, you know, again, we're our own worst critics. So when I see things that are off, I have to talk to myself again and say, hey, this is where we're at. This is how we can handle this situation. This is how we make things better. But it's always a learning lesson because some of your toughest clients are the best ones.
Oh, yeah.
Because they help you change your business. So listening is also a very important part of building a brand. You have to listen. You have to have your vision. I think as a founder of a company, you have to have your vision. It's nice that we have a team vision. At Tremble, like I really, really value the people that I work with and I really, really value their opinion. And even if there's like one voice that pushes it forward at the end of the day, I consider all of that. You know, I consider all of that. I think it's all very, very, very important.
How do you choose, talking about team or friends or people around you, how do you choose who gets on the boat with you?
Yeah.
Because there are so many people around us all the time and it's, you know, sometimes they look different and when you meet them, you know, they show you who they really are. So how do you really, not only hiring, but like, how do you keep close your inner circle?
Hire slowly, fire fast. It's just been like something that I've like always been very close with. I I tend to, you know, I look for people with good character, not just intellect. Like, character is so important. Devotion to the brand or anything in their life always becomes something interesting to me when I interview someone. Just being passionate about something in your life, something that you've stuck to, anything, anything transformational, anything that's involved a competitive drive, I think is always important, because I think, you know, you can be an athlete on and off the court. It's that perseverance to get back up that I think is really important. So while I think there are positions that require a certain amount of intellect or expertise in a particular area, for example, like law or accounting, I think a lot of team members can actually be shaped over time if they want it enough, and they're willing to learn enough. I think there are team members that are willing to be shaped. And I think the fire fast component is that, you know, we always say no lying, no cheating, no stealing. I think those are basic factors of life. But I think those that really rise up prove themselves in a lot of ways. It's not just, they don't just treat this as a job. They love what they do. And I think the passion for growing this brand and the people that will stick around and want to continue growing this brand are the people that really love it at the end of the day. Because I love it. And I just, I love being around the people that really care more. They do a little extra. They move a little different.
Yeah.
They communicate a little differently with our clients. Those are the people I really love being a part of the team. Or even like people who do amazing things behind closed doors. They really understand service. They understand people. They could be closed conversations, but I know about them and I hear about them. And those are the people that like I want to keep on. Those are people that you just, they're brand cheerleaders. So those are the people that you surround yourself around.
How about your friends and inner circle? How do you choose those?
Yeah, I mean, quality. You know, you've got to have quality people around you. And I don't think, you know, I think it's great to have that entrepreneurship group, but it's also nice to have people you can just spend some time with, have a dinner with. That I think what's really nice is like people that are always going to treat you the same no matter what. I can't even tell you how many people like during COVID was or like, you got this, you can do this. You know, I remember one of my friends, she, when I like could reopen the door, she sent the most ridiculous, absurd, you know, balloon display to the studio. And I'm like, are you crazy? I'm like, this, like, what if this doesn't go well? What if this fails? And she said, but what if it does? She's like, you'll remember this. And she just wanted me to enjoy that moment. And I still remember that. Like, she's just such a good friend. It doesn't always have to be somebody in the entrepreneurial space. It's nice to have that group, but it's also nice to have just really great, genuine friends that will be there no matter what, through your highs and lows, and that just treat you the same no matter what. And I think, like, if you can just find one person in your life that you have that with, why not? You know,
100%.
Even if it's your dog, it's okay.
How do you check yourself sometimes? Okay, Ariane, is this ego or is this vision? Because sometimes, you know, it could happen that we get so in love with what we're doing and so excited about our brand and so excited about what we're building. And do you ever check yourself?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. I have to, like, I have to back myself out of, you know, I think one thing about growing a brand is that you, and if you really started it from scratch and you love it, you're very protective of it. So there are decisions that sometimes you have to like ask yourself, is this my ego or am I protecting the brand? And even if that's ego, is it fear that's driving that decision making? Like, that's also very important for me. Like, it's okay if it's ego, but can you dissect why it's ego? Is ego always a bad thing? Maybe it's an okay thing sometime to grapple with. But if ego is like being driven sometimes by fear and not like a place where you are truly authentic about your decision making and you want to make it because of yourself, I think it's okay. Ego is okay sometimes. It's what drives us. We want to be better. We want to do better. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. Those are things that are very important. And if they relate to the ego, it's not always a bad thing. You know, luxury right now is different.
Yeah.
Luxury is not just marble floors, you know, in a studio. And we have that sometimes. But it's also, it's your health. It's your relationships. It's your connectedness. It's your community. And so like, I love where this new generation is headed. I mean, when I first started this, I remember signing a lease and thinking, well, in 10 years from now, there's no way I'll be too old to be teaching this and to be doing this. And, you know, time passes and you're still teaching. You're like, wow. But you start to realize what people really, really crave. And that's mostly to be seen and to be heard. And it's nice that as a brand, we're growing so we can afford to do nicer things for clients. And we have the money now to do things that we couldn't do before. But just because they look bigger now doesn't mean that the essence of what we're trying to do is not the same. Because like your love language may be different than mine, but you know, you may want a personal note to be delivered to you. You know, another person may want balloons. Another person may want a birthday card. Another person may want to know, you know, will be happy that you know something about their family or their trips or what journey they're on, or maybe that they're going through cancer or whatever they're going through. These are important things. Like you are attaching yourself to the people that you're serving. And this is important. So that to me is luxury. It's not always just, you know, the fancy stuff that comes with it. And that's really like, I think when you build something of this capacity, you have to give it back in some way. I'm not saying every aspect of it or every dollar of it, but like, I think from the very start of this brand, we've always tried to figure out a way to give back, even if it was in kind initially, you know, classes, donations, privates, events, this, that, like, these are all really great things to do, but like, you want to really do things that can also like change, like research, education, schooling, any cause that you can see that is important. So a lot of times, even in Trumbull, we empower our leaders to become leaders in the community as well.
I love that. What's something that you used to believe and don't anymore? What's a belief that has shifted throughout the years?
You know, I always heard this thing. And it was always work harder, work smarter, not harder. That's what I always heard. Work smarter, not harder. I kept hearing this thing over and over. I don't know if I believed it myself, but it was like, yeah, work smarter, not harder. And I think it's complete BS. I think you have to work smarter and work harder, both.
Wow.
In order to get to where you want to be. I don't think there are any shortcuts to where you want to go. I believe in like allocating your time differently and showing up for yourself differently. But I think you got to have both to get to where you want to be. And it's way more of an immaculate journey to like put your all into everything. People can see that and they can feel it. And that's not an ego thing. I really believe that. The great successes I've seen far beyond what I'm, you know, I mean, maybe I can get to that level, but even far beyond people I really admire, they've done both. And they're pretty open about doing both. And I admire that. But that doesn't mean that at some point you don't enjoy the luxuries of life or that you don't see a vision ahead in order to make impact differently. But I think working harder and smarter is the key, really.
Yeah, it's the perfect formula, right? Yeah. What's one of the best intuitive decisions you've ever made?
Intuitive decisions. I think like where we were talking about in this conversation was just being guided by people, like showing up for people. I think Trumbull is not just a business, it's a family. We really show up for each other, like through hard times and good times. A lot of people say don't get involved in people's personal lives and that. And I agree with that to a certain extent. But I don't know anybody who's been in life and didn't experience a tough time. And even if it's in behind closed doors, like we show up for each other when times are tough. And even my own team is like the first people to reach out when something is going wrong in somebody's life in ways that we can show up. We can't fix everything. We're not there to fix everything. But I think building a community, a brand is not there just to like be a service or just to, you know, get a paycheck. I think I would say that a lot of people, a lot of the instructors and the team that's a part of Trumbull knows that like we're there on your good days and bad days. And that's something that I was always wanted. I always wanted like friends and a community that would show up no matter what. And even the friends I have, even in the fitness space, that's pretty cool. Like we're we're friends with each other. People always ask us if we're competitive with one another and why we want to be with, you know, around one another. We're actually having lunch together. We're on panels together. We're calling up each other for advice. We're inviting each other into our studios. So I think the other thing is turning that competition into collaboration.
Oh, I love that.
Is so important. I think it's nice to have your thing and to know that you love your thing, but you don't. I think like there is an ecosystem of gratitude at the top that sits, and we actually help each other more often than people think. And we're there for one another. Yeah, we have good great relationships with other brands who have done really amazing things too. And it's fun to see people do better things than you, or to be inspired in different ways. I mean, everybody has a hero.
So yeah.
It's fun. Yeah.
I love to ask this question before we leave. What's your primary question? Like, what's the question that you ask yourself over and over again? In my case, it's like, how do I fix this? Mm-hmm. Right? Like every time I face a problem, or, you know, I'm in the middle of something, it's like, how do I fix this? I'm a fixer. I'm someone that wants to make things better. Sometimes it's not that great because I don't enjoy what's great. I'm always trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. Right? What's your primary question?
Like the thing that like I think about at night, the question that comes up for me. You know, something that always comes up for me, because I think about it a lot in a space where, you know, it can be a space that discriminates against age and, you know, aesthetics and things like that. I always ask myself, what's the end? You know, what's the end? What's the end goal? What is it that I want to do? And some people think that it's crazy that I don't think about, you know, I wouldn't say crazy, but they question it why I don't say like, I want to be at 100 locations or 200 or 300 or 400. That's not my goal. It's never been my goal to be at, you know, 500 locations and then I'm going to be
like a franchise.
Yeah. My goal is to continue to make impact. And so I always ask myself, what's the end? What would I be happy with at the end? And, you know, it's not a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's to like look back and know that I've made a difference in some way. And I think that's, for me, so important. And sometimes hard for people to fully understand. And I respect entrepreneurs, by the way, who go in and they're like, I have many friends that go in and say, well, I knew I wanted to start a $1 billion company. And I admire that. I do. I very much admire that. But that's not why I went into Tremble. I went in because I wanted to make some level of an impact at the time. My vision for impact has changed. My vision for what we can do in community has changed. So I always ask myself, what's the end? Would you be happy with today, tomorrow, or a year from now? So for me, that's like my big question always.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time. I love talking to you. Every time we sit down and talk, I enjoy and learn and I have fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So what inspires me most about Ariane isn't just her vision, her beauty, her discipline. It's also her ability to stay steady. Right? When no one else sees what she sees, she's a founder, she's a go-getter, and she leads. She doesn't push, but she always expects more. She doesn't decorate, but she executes. Because in the end, like she showed us today, I think the most important muscle in building something great isn't only in your body, it's also here in your mind. So if you enjoy, subscribe. Stay kind, stay brave, and remember, sometimes being underestimated might just be your biggest advantage. So, you know, enjoy it. I'm Alejandro Chaban, and this is the Chaban Podcast. Ciao.